Those of you watching, make sure that you have pen and paper handy so that you can write. I just want you to know that I do appreciate it when you come prepared. It means something to me, and what it says to me is you've come prepared to receive from the Lord. So that's very, very important. I just wish that, you know, many years ago, I had understood things better, understood things the way I understand them now. My life would be so much better. But you know what's interesting about all that is God knows the beginning from the end, and so He knew what my life would be like, and He had a plan that would work. So I can look back and say, well, man, I sure messed up all those years. And boy, I tell you what, I'd sure be further along if I had messed up all those years. How could I be so dumb? How could I be so stupid? How could I be so ugly? And, you know, God's response would be, I knew you were going to do those things. So my plan for you is still absolute success because I knew you were going to do those things. So therefore, my plan did not approve of those things, but it accommodated those things because that was your choice. So then, what that means is I still can have absolute victory, but it's totally up to me. And, you know, the same thing is true for all of you. What I'd like you to do tonight to start off with is on your paper, like on the left-hand side, write family. And then after you write family, now when I say family, you know, you might not be married. Well, that's okay. But every one of us in here, we probably have a mom, a dad, a brother, a sister, an aunt, an uncle, a spouse, kids. In other words, there's family some way, somehow out there. So next to family, what I'd like you to do is very briefly write some things that you would like to see changed about your family. And if all you write about is what's happening under your roof, that's okay. And you're not writing a dissertation. Keep it short and sweet and to the point. Just a very few words for each thing that you'd like to see changed. It's enough to jog your memory to know what you're talking about. Nobody else has to understand it. And you know, you're not going to be giving this to me. This is for you. So family, what would you like to see changed in your family, in your marriage, the kids, the grandkids, whatever? Very, very simple. And we're not going to dwell on each one of these points very long at all. So you don't have to have a whole lot. We're not, in other words, you may have like 300 things in your family you want changed. Okay, do you have like 2 or 3 or 4 written down? That's good. That's good for tonight. This is enough to help us get started where we want to go. All right, the next thing, under all of that, the next category would be job or ministry. And it can include both. Some people are not currently employed. Maybe they're retired. Anyway, what would you like to see changed in your job or ministry or both, if you're involved in both? What would you like to see changed? And when it comes to job or ministry, you can also include a subcategory of education. In other words, well, see, I don't want to say too much because I don't want to get you to thinking about something that really would be irrelevant, but you might say, oh yeah, that's a good idea. So job or ministry subcategory would be education. And again, as long as you come up with, you know, like 2 or 3, maybe 4 points, that's good. Okay, now, the next category. Just right underneath all that, the next category is physical. And why physical is not spelled with an F, I do not know. Physical. What about your physical being? Do you want to see changed? And I think all of us, you know, we have something. And, you know, be serious. Don't put something down like, well, I wish I weren't so ugly. You know, be realistic, okay? Physical. Some people could write a whole lot on that one. Okay, now, on the next category, and this next one will be the last one that we'll deal with tonight. But the next category is finances. Oh, you were eager to write on that one, weren't you? I'm watching. Yeah, finances. What do you want to see changed in your finances? And again, be realistic. You know, don't put something like, I want to be the greatest billionaire on earth, okay? No, don't do that. Okay. You're probably getting close to having at least 2 or 3 or 4 things written down about finances. So then let's just go ahead and move on. In fact, at this point, why don't you go ahead and turn over to Luke chapter 6. We will start there. Luke chapter 6. I'll give you a moment to turn to Luke 6. You'll be ready to read in just a moment. Now, let's think about these categories. There was, you had family and job or / ministry, education, physical, finances. So let's just think about these for a minute. And let's just pick physical. So let's say that you're walking down some steps. You trip, you fall, and your arm just hits right on the edge of one of the steps. You feel and you hear something very intense. And you know, you're there, you're all alone, and you're crying out because it hurt. Then all of a sudden, God appears right in front of you. I mean, literally, He's there. And it doesn't take long for you to figure out who He is. Glory and all that. It's God. And God looks at you and He asks, what do you see? And he points to your arm. He says, what do you see? And you look at your arm and it's hanging there. There's bones sticking out and blood. And so you describe to Him what you see. And He says, okay, what would my Son Jesus do about that? What would your answer be? Well, if you know anything about Jesus, you know that He would heal that arm. And I mean, immediately. And, you know, the bone would go back in and everything would be all knit and be like it was never broken. You just have to, you know, wipe the blood off and wash your clothes where you got blood on it and all that, and then clean up the floor too, all right? But He would heal it. And that's what you would tell God. Well, Jesus would heal it. And then God looks at you and says, Well, what do you... Now, remember, the arm is still hanging there, okay? And so he looks at you and asks, what do you want me to say about your arm? And what would you tell him? What would you tell him? What would you want God to say about your arm? You've just told him what you see. Now, he has not disagreed with what you see. He's just asking you, what would you like me to say about that arm? Then all of a sudden, boom, Jesus. He's standing there. So now you've got God and Jesus. And Jesus looks at you and he says, or he asks you, what would you like me to say about your arm? And then you hear this voice. You don't see anybody, but you hear this voice, and you know it's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit asks, what would you like me to say about your arm? So what would you like him to say about your arm? Well, I think we all would answer that by replying, well, I would want God, you know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, I would want them to, you know, say it was healed. Well, that makes sense. Would you really want God, your Father, to stand there and say, oh, that arm, I don't know about that. Yeah, I mean, I never went to medical school, so... And Jesus to say, boy, I tell you what, Father, I never encountered anything like that when I was on earth. You know, blind eyes and deaf ears and all that, yeah, but not that. And then the Holy Spirit says, hey, I can't stand the sight of blood, I'm out of here. How about, what about this? You know, there you are at home, and you and a child, son or daughter, have a big blow up. They stomp out of the house, slam the door. Then all of a sudden, boop, there's God, your Father. And he looks at you and asks, what just happened? Oh, God. Oh, that kid, I tell you what, so you tell God what just happened, like he didn't know, but he wants to have this conversation. And then God says, well, what would you like me to do about this? Well, you've got some ideas, right? And he asks you, well, what would you like me to say about this? Jesus, boop, there he is. What would you like me to say about all this? Then the Holy Spirit, same thing, you hear the voice. Well, then what about the finances? You know, you look at the bank account, and, I mean, the money just not there that you need. Then all of a sudden, boop, there's the Father shows up. And he looks over your shoulder at your account, your bank book, you know, or on your computer screen. He says, what's going on here? So you tell him. What would you like me to do about this? What would you like me to say about this? Jesus, what do you want me to say? Okay, are you catching the drift in all this? In Luke chapter 6, verse 43, Jesus says, for a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit, for of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. You know, when Jesus was talking to Peter in another place, he said, I will give to you the keys of the kingdom. And we read that and we think, okay, well, that's really neat, keys of the kingdom. But how many of us ever take any time to find out, well, what are some of these keys? Well, we just read one. out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth speaks. That is a kingdom key, right there. Now, if you know, we're believing for a revival. But one thing is for certain. If we want revival, we have to have a revival tongue. That's all there is to it. Now, I'm not going to stand here and, you know, be pointing a finger or anything like that, but I think immediately some of you, either in here or watching this, listening, you know something's out of order in your life. You know it. Because what's coming out of your mouth is a very poor testimony about what is the abundance of your heart. Now, you and I can fuss about this, and we can not agree with it. We cannot believe it. We can say, well, it's just a bunch of whatever. But if Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Savior, says, out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth speaks, then we need to know that what we speak over that broken arm, over the job and ministry and education, what we speak about the family, the finances, you know, the just all what we speak, that is the abundance of our heart, whether we want to admit it or not. And what I have found is that a lot of Christians, and, you know, I speak in these vagaries sometimes, you know, like a lot of Christians. Well, how many? Well, I don't know. But there are Christians. They will deny this. Well, I know that's what I said, but I don't really believe that. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, that's just the way it is. So, therefore, the biggest problem with our confession is what's in our heart. Because it comes out. Now, we all laugh and joke and so forth. I get that. That's not what this is about. Now, I'm going to be reading a lot of Scripture to you, and you can jot these down if you want. And if you don't want to jot them down, then, you know, maybe I can just send them to you as an email attachment or something. But, listen to this. In Psalm chapter 12, verse 6, here's what God says about Himself. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. The words of the Lord are pure words. Therefore, whatever He says is pure. So if His words are the abundance of our heart, then what we speak will be pure. Otherwise, it will be what? Impure. In Psalm 89, verse 34, God says, "My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips." So, if God is not going to alter what has come out of His lips, doesn't it stand to reason that what we say should line up with what has come forth from His lips? If He's not going to alter what He says, then we can say anything we want, but He's not going to alter what He said to come in agreement with what we have said. This this is a major problem for many Christians. And it really saddens me because I get around Christians and I hear things said, and I don't mean like any one particular day, just in life. And I hear Christians talk in ways that doesn't line up with God. You know, I get around Christians and they say things like, you know, well, I'm so dumb. I'm so dumb. Oh, I'm just, and it's not. Okay, you shouldn't be saying that. Because my question to you is, well, how long do you want to stay dumb? You know, you say that out of frustration, okay? But that's the abundance of your heart. That is you calling yourself something that God is not going to call you. He's not going to stand in agreement with that. Now, I get frustrated with myself sometimes and I make terms up. You know, just dumb things. I mean, I create words, all right? Not dirty words. I just, oh, what's the matter with me? I'm a Gluckenschnorber. You know, okay, what's that? Who knows what a Gluckenschnorber is? In other words, I'm joking with myself. You follow me? But the one thing, you hang around me, hide microphones in my house. You're not going to hear me going around the house calling me so stupid. I'm dumb. Well, I'm just goofy. Well, I'm so silly, I can't do anything. You're not going to hear me say, I always lose my keys. You're not going to hear me say these things. Because that is not how I want to live. And I'm telling you right now, well, we'll get into the Word, see what God has to say about all this. But He said, listen to this, Isaiah 55, verses 10 through 13. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. And now what He's saying is, again, to kind of paraphrase it quickly, He's saying, the rain comes down, or the snow melts, and stuff grows, and then you can eat as a result. In other words, it is consistent. You're never going to find where the rain falls and nothing grows. If the rain falls, something grows. Here's what's wild. You can have a drought for 15 years and nothing but dirt for the last 9 years. Nothing but dirt. If it rains, guess what? Stuff's going to start growing. Weeds, grass, whatever. Stuff will start growing. So God is saying, this is a constant that will not change. And He says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For now listen, now He said that, all right? He says, my word goes forth, and it does what I, when I speak it, it doesn't return void. All right, now listen to the next thing He says. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Okay, let's not even go outside and look around for mountains and trees to have a party. All right, let's think about the first part. This is God's confession over us. Ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. Right after He says, when my words go forth out of my lips, they will not return void. They will accomplish what I send them forth to accomplish. The next thing He says, you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. It's okay, if there's a lack of peace in your life, then something coming out of your mouth may not be lining up with what God has said. I just don't have any peace in my life. Yeah, well, how about this? But God, You said, Your word doesn't return void. It will always accomplish what You say. And You said, I go out with joy and I'm led forth with peace. Therefore, I go out with joy and I'm led forth with peace. Do you see what I'm saying? Depression will always knock on the door of your soul. So it's always going to happen sooner or later. Sooner or later. Circumstances. Depression. Just all that negative stuff. Sooner or later. I don't care who you are. You can walk on water and raise the dead. But sooner or later, something's going to happen. And those feelings could be knocking on the door. Hey, I'd like to bring you down today. May I come in? Oh, I've got a lot of good depression for you. Been saving it up. And you fight. You have to fight it. That's just the way it is. And if any Christian ever tells you, oh, I never fight that stuff, they are a liar. And they need to repent. And then he says, listen to this, in verse 13, he says, instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. What shall be to the Lord for a name, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off? His word that goes forth, that does not return void, but accomplishes everything that he says. The fruit of his word, your peace, your joy, the fir tree instead of the thorn, the myrtle tree instead of the briar. So the first thing out of his mouth is your inner condition. The second thing out of his mouth are your physical conditions. You see this? You don't have to have a life full of a crop of weeds. You understand what I'm saying by that? Okay, he is confessing good. He's speaking. He's giving you examples of what your life is supposed to be. Now listen to this. Psalm 21, verses 1 through 2. The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation. How greatly shall he rejoice. Okay, are we not kings and priests unto God? Absolutely. We know that in Revelation. Jesus has made us kings and priests unto God. The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord. Remember what Paul was talking about? He said, you know what? That devil, he was all over me, and three times, oh God, deliver me. And finally God got it through me. My grace is sufficient. And Paul said, so you know what? I figured it out. In my weakness I'll rejoice because I know that God will strengthen me with his grace. See that? The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation. How greatly shall he rejoice. Thou hast given him his heart's desire and hast not withholden the request of his lips. So, if you're speaking in line with the word of God, guess what? He's more prone to move on your behalf. Over there in 1 John, it talks about when we ask according to his will, according to his word. We know he hears us, and we know if he hears us, then we have the petitions that we place before him. Well, this is kind of like an Old Testament version of that. And so he's saying, he's given you the desire, your heart's desire. Well, the thing is, he'll give you your heart's desire. Number one, the more you get your word, his word in you, is the more your heart desires the things he desires. Therefore, out of the abundance of the heart comes forth his desires, and he says, I can move with that. I can work with that, and I can bring it to pass. In Psalm 34, verses 12 through 13, what man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? In other words, hey, do any of you desire life and love many days? And do you want to see good? And everybody says, yep, that's me. And he, next verse, he says, well, in that case, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. What does it mean to speak guile? To speak that which is opposite of what God has said and what he wants to do in your life. You know, I don't mean to be rude here, but if I'm around you and you start, you know, basically cursing yourself, I don't mean using foul language, but cursing yourself with bad things by virtue of what you're saying, and if I look at you and I ask you, is that how you want to live? Don't get offended at me, because I'm trying to help you understand. It shouldn't be like that. And if the Word of God were the abundance of your heart, that wouldn't be coming out. You know, Jesus, when you think about the time that Jesus, before he went to raise Lazarus from the dead, and he's talking to the apostles about this, and he's doing everything he can to avoid calling Lazarus dead. And finally, you know, well, but Jesus, if he sleeps, he'll do better. And Jesus says, oh man, he says, okay, let me just put it to you straight. Lazarus is dead. All right? He's dead. Now, I'm going to go raise him from the dead. So even Jesus was doing his best to avoid a bad confession. But he did it to get a point across to these guys. And then what did he do? He goes and he raises Lazarus, even though by now he stinketh. He went and he raised Lazarus. Well, listen to this. In Psalm 45, verses 1 through 2, my heart is inditing a good manner. My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore, God hath blessed thee forever. Does grace come from your lips? And this is interesting. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. What autobiography are you writing with your tongue? What are you declaring about you with your tongue? You know, I shared before that there are people out there, Christians, they're digging their grave with their tongue because of what they say. In Psalm 119, verses 11 through 16, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I'm in agreement with what you've said. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. This isn't simply about sin. This is about living in this life according to what God has said. Now, let me just throw this out. The reason this is so important, several reasons, but number one, we want answered prayer. You know, we want God to move. But we hinder Him with what we say. You know, oh, God, I want to be healed. I want to be healed. And then you turn around and you curse yourself with injury, sickness, and whatever else by what you're saying. You see, confessing the Word of God is not a denial of reality. It is a conquering of a negative reality. Because why would you confess, you know, oh, my elbow is healed, if there wasn't anything wrong with the elbow? You get this? So, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. This, sometimes when I teach on this, I don't know, this feeling on the inside of me, it's almost like, yeah, okay, whatever. I get it, yeah. Got to watch what I say. Okay, it's more than that. It's what's in your heart. See, we could put duct tape over your mouth and nothing come out. That's not going to change what's in your heart. Because as soon as we take the duct tape off, here it comes. Now, listen to this. Proverbs chapter 4, 23 and 24. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. See, we read things like that, and we think, okay, perverse lips, well, you know, you're not going to catch me saying those dirty words. Okay, but from God's perspective, a perverse declaration is that which contradicts what He has said. God, where are you when I need you? Why aren't you here? Okay, that's a perverse lip statement. Because He has already said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. So even though we don't see it as being a perverse lip thing, that's exactly what it is. Because we're contradicting Him. We are coming against Him and hindering His ability to move in our life and bring His will to pass. Okay. In those areas that we talked about, the physical, the family, the job, ministry, education, the finances, over the last, just make it brief here, the last 3 days, what have you said over those areas in your life? What have you said over the last 3 days about your body? What have you said? What have you said about your finances? Are you cursing yourself or are you blessing yourself? What have you said about your family situation? Whether it's, you know, spouse, kids, grandma, grandpa, whatever. What have you said the last 3 days over the family situation? And see, I'm hoping you're starting to catch on to this. Because this, if we want revival, we've got to have revival tongues. Not just all there is to it. Because you can't have a whole bunch of new converts coming in and them hear you bellyaching about everything in life. Hear you talk about, oh, those kids of mine, they're never going to do right. Oh, those kids of mine, you know, man, I just don't know what to do. No, wait, you do know what to do. And if you don't know what to do, it's because you've spent a lot of time sleeping in these pews with your eyes wide open. Because I've declared to you the Word of God and you know what to do. See, these are the kind of things, because when you say, you know, these kids, I just don't know what to do. Well then, if you don't know what to do, the new person here in church, the new convert hearing that, they don't know what to do. And so they know there's one person for sure they can't go and ask what to do. It's you. You know, when they come in, they need help. They don't need somebody who knows how to put on the religious face and start parroting things. They need to see a life. What they need to do is be standing behind you and hear what comes out of your mouth. That's what they need. And when they hear the Word of God coming out of your mouth, meaning a confession that lines up with God's declaration, okay, then they know you're the person I need to be around. In Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 8, "Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them." Now that's a quote from wisdom. And wisdom is saying, here's how I speak. Therefore, you know, over there in James it talks about, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask God. God gives, you know, abundantly. All right. Well, if the wisdom has been given to you abundantly, then guess what? You would be able to stand up publicly in front of any group of people, thousands of people, and say, hear me, listen to me, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things, for my mouth shall speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. We should be able to stand up and say that. But if we talk about, we never have enough money, if we talk about, we don't know what we're going to do, we don't know how we're going to make it, we don't know how we're going to pay this, we don't know, we don't know, we don't know. You know, if that's what we do, then we can't stand up and say, that which comes out of my mouth will be truth, it will be righteousness. In Proverbs 13, verse 3, "He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction." Openeth wide the lips, I don't know what the right phrase is, but it's a person who speaks that which, you ever been around people, you know, like the blabbermouth, all they want to do is run their mouth. Okay, that's the kind of person this is talking about. "He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life." Proverbs 14, verse 3, "In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them." Your lips are your preservation. Well, I'm trusting God. Yeah, God gave you His Word to use for your preservation. In Proverbs 15, 7, "The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so." So if you're speaking things that are counter to God's declaration about you, then from His perspective, you know, you've got the heart of the foolish. Because out of the abundance of your heart is coming foolish words. In Proverbs 16:21, "The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning." Proverbs 18:7, "A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul." I'm telling you right now, I'm firmly convinced that a lot of Christians are tormented in their soul because of what they're saying. Because of their confession. Do you realize, this is true, you can do your own research on this if you want to, but secular, psycho, whatever, analysis, I mean, it confirms this. You can actually confess yourself into an insane asylum. You can actually alter the way your mind works by virtue of what you say. Because if you continue to speak things over yourself about your mental condition that is abnormal, then you can start altering, because what you're doing, you're speaking it and you're hearing it. And you're telling yourself to think this way, to believe this way. You're preaching to yourself. You have become your own false prophet. And you can end up living like that. In Proverbs 18, verses 20 through 21, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. It's pretty obvious. You know, there's one more verse I'm going to read. But there's so much in Scripture about what comes out of your mouth. And there's also so much in Scripture about what comes out of God's mouth. Especially when you get into sections of Proverbs where it says, like, I, wisdom, speak unto you. That's God. That's God telling you, this is what I say. This is my confession. This is how I speak. And we're supposed to be lined up with Him. Well, we're going under. Well, why would you want to do that? Well, you know, we're just about to collapse. Why would you want to? Well, my business is just about to. Well, you know, this, and on it goes. If that's how you want to live, if that's how, I need to hear this too, but I can tell you this. I can tell you this right now. I am not what I used to be when it comes to my confession. I flat out am not. I've seen this and I understand it. And there are times, every now and then, you know, I'll say something stupid that I shouldn't have said that doesn't line up with the Word, and then I've got to repent. You know, God, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that, whatever. But I don't want this stuff to happen to me. But here's the thing. Every single one of us, I don't care if you have the perfect confession. Things are going to happen that would want to influence you to have an imperfect confession. That's just the way it is. And that's when the Word, it's got to be the abundance of our heart, what God has said. Now listen to this. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Now that's in the New Testament, but it's like a summary of several of the verses that we read in Psalms and Proverbs. For he that will love life and see good days, refrain your tongue from evil. Now, would you, I mean, are you, if I start correcting you publicly about this, are you going to get mad at me? Well, you shouldn't do that in public. You shouldn't be confessing that way in public. Nobody needs to hear it. I mean, if you want to curse yourself with these things, run out in the back of the field, okay? Go hide behind a tree and have at it. Just make sure nobody can hear you. Because it's not right. See, we want revival, this outpouring. We've got to have a revival tongue. Okay, we have to. Because a revival tongue lines up with revival outpouring. And so we want people to come in. Well, one of the things we shouldn't be saying is, ain't nobody coming in here. One of the things we shouldn't be saying is, well, we ain't seen it in 20 years. Ain't going to see it in another 20. One of the things that we shouldn't say is, you know, well, ain't nobody going to find us out here across the street from a cornfield. I mean, look, we shouldn't be talking this way. Would a better location help? Well, yeah, it probably would. But we're here for now. And it's not like nobody knows we're here. A lot of people drive by out there. We have to have a revival tongue. Do you have one? Do you have a revival tongue? Some of you would say, well, yeah. Some of you would say, is there another question? Let me tell you what I do. Let me kind of give you kind of a glimpse at the way I pray, the way I confess. It's not long and it's not complicated. But one of the things I do, I call some people out by name. Now, some of these names that I call out, you'd know, so I'm not telling you. But there are some people I call by name before God. So I go through this list, not a real lengthy list, but I go through this list of people I call out by name, and then I say something like this. Father, I thank you that they are born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, having turned their backs on the things of the world, and they are in the church that you know is best for them. Now you might be thinking, well, I thought this church is the best for them. It may not be. I mean, yeah, it is, but but it may not be. There may be another church out there because God knows where they are. And He knows what they will and will not accept as far as belief is concerned. And it could be that at least even for a time, you know, a few years, weeks, months, whatever, they need to be in another church that preaches born again, yeah. But that may be where they need to be for the time. You know what? It's about the kingdom. So praise God. That's why I say in the church that you know is best for them. And I say something like this. I thank you, Father, that more and more people are coming into our church and they are receiving from you everything they need. Born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. You say, well, what's the difference between filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues? There are people out there who have been filled with the Holy Spirit and they've never spoken in tongues because they've got this mental block about speaking in tongues. So that's why I say, and speaking in tongues. So I thank you that more and more people are coming in and they're receiving from you everything they need. Not me. I'm just a pastor. They are receiving it from God. They are receiving from you everything that they need. Born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, teaching, healings, miracles, restoration, deliverance. They're receiving everything that they need from you. And I say that they are all in total submission to your authority in their life. Now that's kind of a summary of how I pray and how I confess. Because that's what I want to see happen. I know that there are people out there God will bring in here. I know there are people out there that God has wanted to bring in here, but, you know, it's their free will. But the one thing I'm not going to say is, oh God, we ain't going to have nobody good in here. Oh God, just do the best you can, you know. Just bring somebody so we have somebody in here. I don't care if they are ugly and stink, bring them in here. No, that's all goofy. See, we have to have this revival tongue, this declaration. And, you know, if you come to me and you start talking about all the bad things going on and how everything hurts and all, I'm not going to come into agreement with you. Now, granted, if you walk up to me and there's your arm, you know, bone sticking out and everything, yeah, I will agree with what I'm seeing at the moment. But I will not agree with that being the everlasting truth in your life. I remember one time Kathy and I were on vacation. And it was one morning, and we're getting ready to go to the beach. And watching this TV program, some Christian station, and they had this youth group on there. And there was this young lady there. She was kind of, she had been invited to come give her testimony and all that other good stuff. And one of her legs was missing. It had been amputated. And she talked about how that she had been in some kind of an accident and broke her leg. And so they set it. But the bone wasn't knitting back together. So they did this and they did that and they did surgeries and blah, blah, and so on and so forth. But they could never get the bone to knit back together. Now, I'm not an expert in all of these things. But anyway, the end result was they had to amputate her leg right there where the bone broke. And as she's talking to this group of kids, now she was only, I don't know, 19, 20, 22, something like that. She wasn't old, she was young. She was saying, I'm not really sure why God didn't heal me. I don't know, you know, that's part of His plan for me. So, you know, and I'm thinking, ah! I didn't want to throw anything to the TV, but I did want to throw something to... Okay, that's not a revival confession. Okay, that's not. And what people don't need to hear is, I don't know why God won't save my kids. That's because they're not calling on the name of the Lord. That's pretty simple. If you call upon the name of the Lord, guess what? You know, I was going to say he's Johnny on the spot, but no, he's Jesus on the spot. He's there to save, to deliver. If we want our lives to be a reflection of Christ, if we want our lives to be a reflection of God, folks, we got to make sure that the abundance of our heart is the Word of God, and that what comes out of our mouth is the Word of God, what He will stand in agreement with. Now, nobody can make you do this. And granted, everybody can, you know, everybody can have church speak. But even at that, too many times people let their guard down. When the service is over and everybody's yicky-yacking around and all that, it's like, okay, I hear you. I hear what you're saying. Yeah. Guys, we have to take this seriously. Because everything that God has said in His Word that we've read here tonight, and there's more, God is trying to get... Okay, it all goes back to Genesis chapter 1. Where God said, let us make man our image, our likeness. Meaning, let's create humans to operate the way we do. How did God operate? Genesis chapter 1, and God said, and there was. And God said, and there was. He sets the pattern for you right there. The very first chapter of Genesis. What do you want in your life? What you wrote down. What are you speaking over these things? What is it that God has promised? What is it that He has declared? What is it that He has spoken about these things? What, let me say it this way, what Genesis 1 type manifestation do you want to see in your life? And I know you want the good. Therefore, what you speak, it must be what God has spoken. It must line up with His will and His Word. We've got to have a revival tongue to see revival results.